The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Allies and our partners there. We had some important conversations about ISIS, the security threat in that region, and those around the world. But I'll tell you, it is really amazing how our politics has followed so closely overseas. I was asked about it everywhere I went. I'm also aware that while I was overseas, there was more speculation that someone other than the current candidates will emerge as our party's nominee. I want to put this to rest once and for all. As you know, I have stayed out of this race, and I have remained neutral. As chairman of the Republican Convention, my job is to ensure that there is integrity in the process, that the rules are followed by the rule book. That means it is not my job to tell delegates what they should do. But I've got a message to relay today. We have too much work to do in the House to allow this speculation to swirl or to have my motivations questioned. So let me be clear. I do not want, nor will I accept the nomination for our party.
Well, that's pretty it. 6-8, right? I mean, guaranteed. Don't even go there. And he carries the sentiment and expressed the sentiment that most people do and saying that, look, if you want to be president, you got to run for it. He didn't run for it. He doesn't. He's not there. They're not going to draft him. He is focused on, being the Speaker of the House and says there's lots of work to be done. And I appreciate him coming out and saying something, Scott, because it puts to bed this whole issue. I mean, there's been so many fingers in the pie here going on with the GOP. Everybody is giving their two cents on, the possibilities and all this. And again, this goes back to what I said, in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And there's lots of room for opinion to run rampant here, whether it has to do with Donald Trump because he's such a controversial figure. And you just can't help but talk about Donald Trump. I mean, everywhere you go, Donald Trump's name comes up. People are rather fascinated about one Donald Trump, good and bad, and they all want to talk about it. I mean, it's just that's the nature of somebody who is, that comes on with this kind of personality, this kind of figure. You cannot be lukewarm. I don't know anybody that's lukewarm about Donald Trump. Do you?
No. No. I don't know anybody that doesn't have an opinion and I don't really care. It's always that guy is horrible, or I like what he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think that's where our country is today. I mean, when you ask people about, what do you think about the country? Very few people are lukewarm about the country. There's some people, a few that I hear these days that think that America is right on track where it needs to be. And there's many that are just very disappointed and frustrated. And this is why it ramps up and is consistent with the personality of Donald Trump, because he's saying, hey, look, we need to turn this thing upside down. And, what it's going to come down to is who can people trust and believe to be able to do that, to do something, in this country. Of course, in just a moment, we're going to be talking with our historian, our resident historian, the one and only Bruce Kaufman, because it's Thomas Jefferson's birthday today. And, Thomas Jefferson had some rather interesting things to say about this country. I like one of the lines he said. He says, I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical. And I'm sure that Bruce Kaufman will have more to talk and enlighten us about regarding the third president of the United States. Thomas Jefferson's birthday, we celebrate that as we remember, and maybe we'll be even more enlightened and encouraged here today, okay? Good to have you along with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
75 years ago, America suffered one of the worst moments in American history, the attack on Pearl Harbor. Now you can remember December 7th, 1941, with the purchase of the first ever 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-490-3200 right now for the official 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve, the only company authorized to distribute these 100% solid gold coins. Remember Pearl Harbor with this limited official gold release. 1-800-490-3200 or online at usmoneyreserve.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that?
Hey, we're back with you, America. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. Anyone want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you, good or bad. And got some interesting stuff yesterday. Boy, you guys were a little feisty, but that's okay. We love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Bruce Kaufman is with us, an award-winning syndicated columnist, historian, author, and speaker. His work has appeared in magazines and newspapers nationwide, regularly lectures on a number of historic topics. And he's regularly here on Bill Martinez Live, and we're honored and just, just happy to be associated. Happy, proud to be associated with one Bruce Kaufman. I just so appreciate his insight, his work, his knowledge about history. Whenever you go to his website, Bruce's History Lessons, you just read of the, responses. The people, Bruce, they love you. They just so appreciate your openness and willingness to share your knowledge and your brilliance with us. And you do this every week, three times a week, right?
Yeah, Bill, and I enjoy it tremendously. It's really been the passion of my life for, gosh, most of my adult life. So it's a mutual love, believe me.
It's good fun, let me tell you. Well, today, President Thomas Jefferson, our number three president of the United States of America, it is his birthday that we commemorate, right?
That's right. Today he was born. He was born 273 years ago, so in 2 years it'll be his 275th anniversary. But, yes, he was born today, our third president, the author of the Declaration of Independence. But I have to say that probably after the Declaration of Independence, his most important contribution to America, Bill, was the engineering of the Louisiana Purchase, because that gave us the middle third of our country. And so, that was the highlight of his presidency. Mm. Yeah, and we have to thank him for that, because he gave truly. I mean, we were always going to be a continental nation. It's really interesting that even when we were just 13 states on the eastern seaboard, we called our Congress the Continental Congress. Mm-hmm. We had always planned on moving west, and Jefferson made sure that he gave us the middle third of our country, and yeah, we have to give him great credit for that.
Yeah, he ignited that motivation. It was time to go west, young man. Go west, huh?
Absolutely. He was a huge, huge believer that America was going to be a continental nation, and that the West was our destiny. And he was, you want to call it manifest destiny, which we ended up calling it, and that had some controversial ramifications. But Jefferson was one of the true, his foresight in terms of us being a continental nation moving west was unarguable.
Right. Now, as in terms of the vision of this, Bruce, though it was, you could say that it was baked in the cake and the DNA of our founding fathers to consider, this burgeoning enterprise, the United States of America, as a continental experiment. For him to have the vision and know that this was the time to do it. I mean, what triggered this for him?
Well, he was a worldly man, okay. But second of all, and this is we've just created the greatest government and nation in the entire world. We've created a government which is based on the sovereignty of the people. The people rule, okay. They elect the people who are going to pass the laws, but they are ultimately our representatives are responsible, beholden to the people. And what was the point of this government? Jefferson spelled it out in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence really has two main goals, and the Constitution was created to fulfill those goals, and that is individual liberty for all and equal rights under the law. So Jefferson and the other founders wanted to export this experiment around the world. They wanted to move it west, okay, so that we had this one great nation that was representative and symbolic of this new idea. But they wanted it to be spread around the world as well. It was the first great experiment. It worked. So Jefferson, Madison, Washington, Hamilton, all the founding fathers wanted to expose this new kind of government to the people around the world.
And could you blame them, Bruce? I mean, here it is. They land on something here. You know, this idea that is just, it's starting to come together, and they're so excited that, like, I guess, which is our human nature, is if we find something good, we want to talk about it. We want to share it with other people, right? I mean, it wasn't like it was something diabolical where it was, you know, the founding father says, we are going to rule the world or anything like that. It was just, hey, this is a novel, an incredible concept. We've put a lot of time, energy, some blood, resources, our honor, everything on this. And this is really starting to make sense. And you can't contain yourself.
You can't contain yourself, because what is happening here, Bill, is that, again, people are at individual liberty. Around the world, it was monarchs, it was dictators, caudillos in Latin America. This is the first chance. This is the first government in the world where the government, the sovereignty doesn't belong to the government. The way it worked before Jefferson, and Jefferson makes this very clear in the Declaration of Independence, he changes our concept of government. Before the Declaration of Independence, all power belonged to the government, and any rights that the people had were given to them by that government. Mm-hmm. Jefferson changed it in the Declaration of Independence. Now sovereignty belongs to the people, and the only powers that the government gets are given to them by the people. So he's reversed the process. Before, power belonged to government, the people were given rights by that government. Now sovereignty belongs to the people, and the people give the government certain powers in order to protect their liberties. And that's the only reason they give government powers, is to protect our liberties. That was a revolutionary concept that we wanted to share with the world.
And I was going to say that was a huge issue, even for the founding fathers, to think about, okay, we're going to what now? We're going to turn this upside down? We're going to let the people be the ones in the power position. We are going to turn the pyramid paradigm upside down. Instead of top down, it's going to be a bottom up.
That's exactly right. Instead of the government giving us certain rights and privileges, and by the way, the government usually gave them to us grudgingly and sparingly, now we've turned the pyramid upside down. We're going to give the government certain powers, and we're going to give them equally grudgingly and sparingly. And the only reason we're giving the government those powers is to protect our rights to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, property, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of the press, and so on. That was it. Absolutely. The great experiment, the great new idea, and we wanted to share it with the world.
Bruce, the conversation I hear all the time, and I even read it in some of the emails that are sent to you at Bruce's History Lessons, is people today say, why have I not been taught that in school? What is the big divide where America is today versus our founding fathers, you know, 230 some years ago?
This is the problem, Bill. First of all, we're not teaching history properly today. Second of all, the topic of our history today has sort of switched from the founding fathers and the government to I don't know, I would call it progressive movement, in which there is, we are almost apologetic about our history now. Before, we were proud about our history. We would talk about this great new experiment in freedom and individual liberty for everyone and equal rights under the law. Now, history so often is taught that, you know, America was this rapacious, warmongering country that was taking over. We were engineering coups and, you know, around the world, and we were slave owners, which we were, okay, but nobody's perfect. But to me, the problem with history now is that the focus of history has become what a imperfect nation we are, rather than the focus of history being what a great nation we are. Imperfect as we may be, in the end, this is the greatest nation ever created.
Without a doubt. Historian Bruce Kaufman is with us, and our conversation continues as we remember one Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States of America. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour, America. Stay with us.
This report is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. For many, the American dream means financial independence. But is that a realistic goal for all of us? Most Americans consider themselves financially savvy, but a closer look at their finances doesn't always reflect their perceived understanding. According to a new study by Fifth Third Bank, financial independence was cited as a goal for over 80% of respondents. But for many Americans, staggering debt, poor retirement planning, and insufficient savings stand in the way of attaining that goal. 70% of Americans have some form of debt, yet 30% have no plan to pay it off. Jada Grandy, Senior Vice President, Fifth Third Bank.
Financial planning is one of the most important things you can do in life. From our survey results, we found that Americans are generally knowledgeable about basic financial concepts. The gap is applying that knowledge to personal behaviors in order to empower themselves for the future.
For more information, visit www.53.com/life.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. A little Eric Clapton in the background there, huh? Don't you just love that riff? It's one of the hottest guitar riffs, I'll tell you. I tried all my life to try and play that. My son, who is just one of these kids that just picks up the guitar, and he's so musical, and I've played guitar most of my life, kind of hacked through it. And my son just decides, Bruce, one day, says, Dad, I think I want to learn how to play. And all along, as he was little, I go, do you want to learn how to play guitar? No, I don't. And one day he says, hey, he's watching one of these Esteban commercials on TV. He goes, I think I want to learn how to play guitar. I said, okay, well, you know, I'll get you a guitar, because I wasn't about to give him my Martin or one of the nice ones right out the gate. I want to see if he's serious. So I get him this guitar, and in 2 weeks, I mean, he's got all the chords down. He is scoring music with the piano and everything, and I go, you got to be kidding me. You know, I go, hey, let me tell you, kid, you know, kids like you upset guys like me, and you're liable to end up in a trash can or something somewhere, you know. And sure enough, I mean, you know, in no time, he's got the lick, you know, to Clapton's. He's playing the song, and it's like, oh, you know, you absolutely disgust me, but God bless you for your talent.
That's great.
Anyway.
Clapton is my favorite guitar player. A lot of people think Hendrix was the greatest. I think Clapton still is.
Yeah, he's just amazing, and especially when he came out with the Unplugged, just to, again, demonstrate the breadth. And that's it. You and I think we touched on this before a long time ago in terms of musicality, is when you're good, good is good. I mean, you don't need to reverb stuff. You don't need to, you know, to me, reverb covers mistakes and all that. But when you're pure like him, I mean, you just... I know, it's there. He's very gifted.
He's probably the hardest working guitar player ever. He used to just practice all the time, day and night.
Yeah, unbelievable. Well, Bruce, I want to give you a chance and give everybody a chance to, you know, find out more information about Bruce's history lessons, how they can get involved. I get my three. I subscribe to all, you know, three of your reports every week. I look forward to them. I am so grateful because it reminds me of history, because so much is lost. As President Reagan said, we're just a generation away from losing our liberty. And you see where we are right now, as you mentioned earlier, progressives have taken over this country, and it hasn't been something that, you know, some people think, oh, this just happened in the last 50 years. This is something that's been going back even from day one, because Thomas Jefferson said this, and again, this echoes through the ages. He says, in matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock, right?
Yep.
And so... we have failed to stand like a rock when we needed to stand like a rock, because we really don't know what it is that we believe in, because history has been rewritten, it's been revised to accommodate, you know, political influence and this progressive idea in theory that to me, you know, I think it's galling, because it's like, tell me where these ideas have ever worked. If anything, there's been a problem with these issues. Millions of people have died as a result of these progressive ideas. But yet here it is. It's gone full circle. We've got Bernie Sanders, you know, the Pied Piper, leading an incredible number of Americans, and they don't even know what they're following, Bruce.
Yeah. I mean, Bill, the fact of the matter is, again, history is not well taught in our nation right now. It's not only just that the focus on history has now shifted to what we're bad at, that we were slaves, that we were mean to the slaves, that we were mean to the Indians, that we've been trying to, you know, topple governments so that we had more pro-U.S. friendly governments in power. That's the kind of focus of our history now. That's to me, the wrong focus. We should be focusing on what a great country this is, how much this country has contributed to world peace. I mean, if I was in the Nobel Peace Prize Committee, I would have given the United States Army the Peace Prize several times throughout our history as a peacekeeping force in the world. But the other problem with how history is taught today, in my opinion, is that it is you teach facts and figures and dates that you have to memorize and then regurgitate on some standardized test, and then we forget about them a week later. History is not about dates and facts and figures and statistics. History is about people. I want to share one email I got from a reader that is my favorite email of all time. She wrote to me, "What I love most about your pieces is that you bring humanity to history. It's not dates and wars. It's people who are heroic or tragic, who make decisions, often bad ones, people with hearts and souls. That is what history is about. History is about the study of people. Good people, bad people, imperfect people. People change history. Lincoln once said that, I confess that, you know, that the forces of history are controlling me. I'm not controlling him. That's not true. Only Abraham Lincoln wins the Civil War. A single man who is president, only he wins the Civil War. Only George Washington wins the American Revolution. History is about people, not dates and facts and statistics that you memorize and then forget. That's what history is all about.
Well, you talk about, you know, the forecast of a potential contested convention, and you mentioned one Abraham Lincoln, what was the third voting round, right?
Yes. That's the other thing. I mean, I don't know if you want to get on to Donald Trump.
No, that's fine. We can touch on it. That's fine.
Donald Trump is complaining that, you know, if he goes to the convention and he's got a plurality but not a majority, he's short the 1,237 delegates, then the election is being stolen from him if he's not the nomination. That's not true. That's not how it works. And Abraham Lincoln is the perfect example of that. When Lincoln went to the Republican National Convention in 1860 in Chicago, Illinois, he trailed. He was the underdog. William Seward and Salmon P. Chase were both the favorites. So Lincoln and his aides went around to all the delegates at the convention and they said, "We know that Chase is your guy in the first ballot. We know you love him. You're bound to him. We know that Seward is your guy. But just in case they don't win in the first ballot, will you think about us as your second choice?" And that's exactly what happened. And if Donald Trump has a problem with that, then he's got a problem with the rules that are absolutely down there. That's how it works. If he doesn't have a majority, not a plurality, if he doesn't have a majority of the delegates when he goes into that convention, then anything goes.
Then it's open. It's jump ball. I mean, you would liken this, if you were going to do a comparative, it would be, you know, as it was then with Lincoln, you know, just, you know, way in the, you know, not way in the background. He was in the background. And, you know, they already pretty well decided what was going to go on. It would be like, you know, like now. And all of a sudden, John Kasich coming up, right?
Right. I mean, I think that's the main reason why Kasich is staying in the race, is that he thinks that at some point at that convention, Trump doesn't win it on the first ballot. I mean, it's state by state as to when the delegates are released on the second or third ballot. But Kasich is thinking that Trump doesn't win it on the first ballot. He ain't going to win it on the second ballot because there are a lot of people who are pledged to Trump right now that will be released in the second ballot. So, it's an anything-goes jump ball. You just don't know what's going to happen. Heck, Bobby Jindal could still get it. Marco Rubio could still get it. Anybody can still get it. I mean, the rules are such that, you know, whatever deals are made, whatever delegates are released, whoever's wooing those delegates, Cruz is now wooing a lot of Trump's delegates, knowing that Trump doesn't get it on the first ballot, then they can switch to Cruz on the second. That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. I have no problem with it.
Well, and we saw in Colorado the evidence of the ground game and how Cruz is building bridges into these varying groups to where, you know, they're questioning. They know all of a sudden he's created a little bit of dissatisfaction with Trump, helped by Trump, no doubt. But, you know, to where, OK, you've got to honor your first vote. But on the second vote, I'm your guy. And he's starting to flip these people, and look what happened in Colorado. And Donald Trump took a lot for granted, and now all of a sudden he's whining about it. I mean, it's like, and the unfortunate thing about that, when he plays that card, is it only creates more fractions within the party, and I think it's just going to make it very, very difficult. And it's almost as Donald Trump is being a pawn for Hillary Clinton to open the door for her just to waltz right on through.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and Trump is complaining, okay? Well, Trump isn't doing any of the work that he hates, okay? Ted Cruz is out-hustling Trump everywhere, okay? And Trump, I love the Trump's complaint. He goes, you know, well, there was no voting. I didn't go out there to make a speech or anything. He's talking about Colorado. Well, whose fault is that, Donald? You didn't go out and make a speech while Cruz is out there wooing all of those delegates. That's what it's called. It's called hard work.
Yeah,
Donald doesn't seem to understand that.
And Kasich said very plainly, it's the season to collect delegates. That's what you do, is collect delegates. You got to put points up on the scoreboard. That's what it's all about. Bruce Kaufman, go to his website, historylessons.net, for all the information that you need to know, and sign up for his subscriptions. This is Bill Martinez.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10, 2, and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the new Phenup, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the new Phenup because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The new Phenup Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a Chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayItLook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayItLook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ilikethewayilook.com. ilikethewayilook.com.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Why does the medical community dispense little colorful pills that restrict the production of stomach acid? You ever think about that? Isn't it stomach acid's job to break down food before it enters the small intestines? Could this possibly lead to compromised digestion, leading further to malabsorption, leading even further to bone loss and many other health complications? Well, the FDA has issued a number of product warnings, including all proton pump inhibitor drugs, either for prescription or over-the-counter purchases. These potential interactions have ranged from absorption alterations of vitamins and minerals, metabolic effects on bone density, alteration of drug interactions and their intended effect, infection risk, and even organ damage. Is it possible to find safer solutions to heartburn? At Bill Martinez Live, we support structure and function of healthy digestion with a healthy body digestion pack. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com Longevity or call 855-305-8326. Healthy acids lead to healthy body. Again, 855-305-8326.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
The best of Bill Martinez Live.
Whether we are rich or poor.
Are you kidding me? Oh my God!
Right here, right now. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. This is Bill Martinez at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States has agreed to review a case challenging arguably the most significant unilateral executive action of the Obama administration, the Deferred Action for Parents of Americans and Lawful Permanent Records program known as DAPA, better known to conservatives as executive amnesty. DAPA represents President Obama's signature immigration reform, and a Supreme Court order striking it down would mean that the president ended his presidency without fulfilling a key campaign promise to permit illegal immigrants to remain in the country and eventually obtain citizenship. Now, here to break it down and help us understand exactly what's going on with this complicated issue, and you've got to know the president is not taking this sitting down in much the same way when Obamacare was challenged. He kind of finds a way to give some nuance and let SCOTUS know what they need to do. It's almost like he's a silent partner on the Supreme Court here. And David French can break it down for us, staff writer at the National Review, an attorney himself concentrating his practice in constitutional law and law of armed conflict, and a veteran of Operation Iraqi Freedom. David French, always good to have you with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, did I lay that out right with DAPA, where we are right now?
Yes, exactly right. So essentially what's happened is that the Obama administration, through a memorandum, not an executive order, I mean, it wasn't even an executive order, it was a memorandum from Department of Homeland Security, said that they're going to exercise prosecutorial discretion not to enforce immigration laws applicable to about 4.3 million people here in the United States. Put that in context, that's about 40% of the total illegal immigrant population. So he was trying to, what they're essentially trying to say is we're just simply not going to enforce the law, and he claims that he has that discretion under a concept known as prosecutorial discretion. This is something that we see all the time around the country when prosecutors decide whether they're going to charge someone, what kind of crime they're going to charge someone with. It's a concept that does exist in the law, but the Obama administration has abused it and stretched it beyond any beyond rationality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're talking about a number like 40%, prosecutorial discretion, you know, maybe 1%, 1-2 in a selective thing, but something this broad base, I mean, this really expands the word beyond even Hillary Clinton's plausible deniability.
True. And here's the key on prosecutorial discretion. It requires a case-by-case analysis.
Yes.
So, okay. You know, in that circumstance, even 1-2% may be too much discretion, because 1-2% of millions is, you know, reaching in the thousands and thousands of people. But it requires a case-by-case analysis. But instead, what the Obama administration did is it made a memorandum that said entire categories of people, parents of American children, for example, people who'd entered, parents of permanent residents, these entire categories are going to be allowed to stay in the country, are going to be immune from deportation. That's not a case-by-case analysis. That's setting up a whole new category. It's setting up a legal right, and it's a legal right that directly contradicts the statutes passed by Congress, signed by past presidents. And here's the other thing. The fact that he tried to do this in a memorandum is by itself unlawful. There's this law called the Administrative Procedure Act that says that if you're going to promulgate a regulation, in other words, if you're going to be a federal agency that's interpreting a statute passed by Congress, that regulation has to go through what's called a notice and comment procedure. In other words, you have to tell the public what you're going to do, give the public an opportunity to comment before you pass the regulation. They just wrote a memo.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, as I said, that's something that's even less formal than an executive order. So they violated the law in the manner in which they did it, and the substance of what they did violated the law.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, here it is this past week. We saw the president go back to Illinois in his old law school that he was a professor at. He's been framed as being a constitutional professor. And people say, well, you know, he should know better. He should know these laws. Why is he obliterating our Constitution? Some would say, on you know, from the conservative perspective, on the progressive side point, they say, well, hey, look at, he taught constitutional law. He knows the law, so why are they making a big thing out of this?
Well, you know, he was a constitutional law professor, a leftist constitutional law professor. And if you spend much time in those circles, you know that they have a philosophy of the Constitution that is essentially, you've probably heard of it, it's the living, breathing doctrine.
Yes, exactly.
And what they essentially do is they take the Constitution and they overlay on top of it a principle that essentially says all provisions of this Constitution must be read to advance the interests of social justice. And so if they can twist or pull or turn the words or reinterpret the words to change the meaning, to expand the power of the federal government, they will do so. When I was in law school, I had a professor who was part of the same sort of legal philosophy that Barack Obama is, and he said, what you have to do is get to the right you get to the right result first, and then you reason to – you then use the law and the Constitution to reason to the right result. So in other words, you wouldn't read the law and the Constitution to discern what the right result would be. You figure out what you want to do, and then you figure out how to make the law and the Constitution justify what you want to do.
Well, you know, and the interesting thing is, all in the name of social justice, who's determining social justice here, David? I ask that question?
You know? Yeah, I mean, certainly. You know, it is an outstanding question, and the answer is, you know, essentially the liberal academic government complex determines social justice, and it does so through peer pressure. It does so through political correctness. It does so through some academic writing, liberal think tanks. So essentially, you know, the what's remarkable about the left in social justice machine is they can take an issue nobody was thinking of 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And turn it into the number one social justice issue on the planet with remarkable speed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, immigration people have been talking about forever, but I mean, we can easily think of other examples. I mean, think about the transgender bathroom issues,
right,
for example.
Yeah.
2 years ago, nobody was thinking about that. Now, companies are boycotting states that say, hey, you know, men should go to men's restrooms and women go to women's restrooms.
Yeah, you got rock stars that don't want to play in concerts and everything else because there's not shared restrooms. I mean, this is all is getting to be ridiculous here, you know?
Yes. So it's a academic, media, and government culture that is it's hard left. It's insulated largely from the rest of America. And they are focused on, you know, as we said, social justice concepts that are based often in hard left ideas of economics, based often in hard left ideas about social structures, including the family, hard left ideas about religion. And they just basically take the hard standard garden variety hard left ideas and call them social justice as a way to kind of paper over the extremity.
And they're really shoving them down people's throats because a lot of Americans, you know, David, every day I run into people and they go, what do you mean marriage isn't based on one man, one woman? Where have you been? You know, some of this stuff that's happening, we are at microwave speed dealing with the Constitution was designed to slow us down, have due process, and take it a step at a time. But, you know, this president and the progressives, you got to hand it to them, they progress. They're moving the ball down the field, and it's at 15-yard chunks at a time here.
Yeah, and when you can do it by just writing a memo, like the Obama administration likes to do it, then you can do it all the faster because you don't have to go through Congress. You don't have to have a bill signed by the president. You don't have to comply with other laws. Mm. You got to hand it to them. They figured out how to be efficient.
Well, we got about 15 seconds, David. What's the short summary on DAPA here in the SCOTUS?
Well, a short summary is if the court deadlocks 4-4, this is one of those cases where the Obama administration would actually lose because the lower court struck down DAPA. So if the court deadlocks 4-4, Obama loses this round.
And the conservatives might win one, huh? David French, staff writer at the National Review. David, thank you for being with us. 19 before the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guided Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
By now, you know the smart way to buy emergency food storage is calories per dollar. Ready Supply Foods sells you 50% more food for your money. GMO-free, 25-year shelf life, great tasting, and free shipping. You need 2,000 calories per day under ideal conditions. Most 30-day kits don't have enough calories to sustain you for more than a week. They just don't have enough nutrition to do the job. See the comparisons for yourself at ReadySupplyFoods.com. We are the new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. you can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
Oh, well, he's very popular, yes. The sportos, motorheads, geeks, bloods, wasteoids, dweebies, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Bill Martinez, live.
Don't take risks.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Good to have you along with us as always. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You want to drop me an email. We love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, and it's that time once again for James Hurston every week about this time. New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor, and awesome golfer too, right, James?
I would know, no.
Had to throw that in
golfer.
There.
I think Duffer, a former Duffer.
A former Duffer,
yeah. I don't have the time for golf these days, but I appreciate the game. And I think it was some Scotsman that wanted to get revenge on Western civilization that invented that game.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he just wanted to take frustration to a whole new level, and one that we could relate to at the Masters with one Jordan Spieth. The poor guy, as he was, you know, going for a quadruple bogey there on number 12 in the middle of Amen Corner. Now he's probably going, now I know why they call it Amen Corner. Amen to get out of there, I'll tell you.
Yeah. For sure.
Unbelievable. Hey, a new movie coming up. HBO is finishing up a movie that we've been hearing about titled Confirmation, which deals with, you know, how Justice Thomas was dealt with when he was being confirmed as a Chief Justice. You know, most incredible, of course, involved Anita Hill. So you can only imagine it's coming out of Hollywood. So what do you make of this?
Well, it's essentially a hit job, a combination of hit jobs. It's a hit job on Clarence Thomas. It plays into the upcoming general election because it brings up the subject of sexual harassment. And it's, of course, an attempt to revise history and change people's opinion about Anita Hill. There's a lot of young people who don't remember this because it happened in 1991, but they had those confirmation hearings where all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, this woman comes with charges of sexual harassment years before when she had worked for Clarence Thomas at the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission, and it was similar to the O.J. trial at the time. Mm-hmm. It became mandatory must-watch broadcast viewing, cable viewing, to watch the Senate confirmation hearings, which normally are dull affairs. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, it was used by the Democrats. This is before they had the war on women meme. Mm-hmm. But it was really that same meme, and they were able to use these hearings to propel four women into the Senate, one of whom was Barbara Boxer. And Barbara Boxer says, if it wasn't for Anita Hill, she would not have won her Senate race back at that time when California was competitive in the Senate races. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, Hill had no credibility among most of the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, including many Democrats, including one Democrat named Joe Biden. And it was the public overwhelmingly disbelieved her, but the left continues to go back and try to change that, and they have for years. They've attacked Clarence Thomas in really cheesy ways over the years, and this is insulting to him. But this is nothing new for HBO.
Mm-hmm.
HBO Films, every couple of years, comes out with a agenda political movie. And the last one they did was Game Change, which was a real piece of distortion attacking Sarah Palin, essentially, mm-hmm. and it was supposedly telling the story behind how then-Senator John McCain, then-candidate John McCain, selected Sarah Palin, and it was taken from a book that John Heilman and Mark Halperin of Bloomberg wrote. Mm-hmm. But it was even John McCain criticized HBO for the distortion in there. Then they had a movie prior to that called Recount. I don't know if you remember these.
Yes, I do. Right, exactly. Huh?
And that was about the unprecedented contest we've never had in the history of the United States.
Gore and Bush.
Al Gore initiated essentially a legal contest between he and George W. Bush that had a court overseeing a recount of a presidential election, and it was a ridiculous movie that made Al Gore into a saint. Just to show how you can always tell what HBO is doing by the casting, okay? So Anita Hill is played by Kerry Washington. She's the actress in the show Scandal. This is one of the most beautiful African-American women on the scene, one that purportedly President Obama has a crush on.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, if you're going to idealize anybody in history, you would do it with Kerry Washington. And, you know, I'm sorry, Anita Hill is no Kerry Washington.
Yeah, right.
Visually or any other one.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is played by Greg Kinnear. Greg Kinnear is like a handsome leading man, something Joe Biden would like to be,
right,
but he's not.
Right.
But all that being said, Al Simpson, the senator who was involved in this, Jack Danforth, another senator was involved in this, they got to see scripts. They both said it was seriously dishonest and distorted. And there's a lawyer that worked on the confirmation hearings that came out and said it's just plain, it's a propaganda piece.
Yeah.
And so this is going to be shown on April 16th, and the timing is suspect, too, because it's coming in the middle of the primary season set up for the general election season.
But this could open a bucket of worms for them, James, because, you know, first of all, you've got something that lacks, you know, veracity at best anyway with this confirmation. And now all of a sudden it's like, all right, you start talking sexual harassment. Let's go to the Oval Office, okay? And let's re-litigate that in the, in the face of public opinion, in the court of public opinion, one more time. And that's going to come up anyway. But now it's going to come up with a vengeance, I would think, don't you?
Well, if Donald Trump is the nominee, you're absolutely right. He's already proven he's willing to bring these things up that we have seen Republicans shy away from,
mm-hmm.
Going all the way back to the times of Bill Clinton. But certainly the Republicans have shied away from a whole host of scandals involving Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if the GOP establishment now aligned with the Cruz campaign don't get their way,
mm-hmm.
and Donald Trump ends up getting the nomination, I'm sure he would not hesitate to bring up the Oval Office record. And that's true. You know, what were the allegations of Anita Hill? That Clarence Thomas said some untoward things to her. That's quite different than a president who has an intern who reports essentially
with a blue dress, an intern with a blue dress
and committing sexual assault on her. That's quite different than sexual harassment. So you're right about that. It could open a can or a bucket of worms, but the fact is, if somebody like Paul Ryan is the nominee or Mitt Romney, they won't bring it up. They don't ever bring up any of this ammunition because, for a whole host of reasons, the main reason is they're part of the corruption.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that was the point, is that here they are, you know, the stones are there getting ready to throw, you know, be thrown, and then somebody reminds them going, hey, what about your stories, you know? So they have to drop their stones and walk away because they're guilty as charged. But a guy like Donald Trump, see, people don't expect Donald Trump to be a saint, you know, and that's one of the positions that he enjoys in not being a politician. He doesn't have to be perfect.
Well, yeah, no, his image is not like that. But plus his, you know, part of his appeal is he's not scripted. He's completely an outsider, and he doesn't care about the power infrastructure, the interconnection of lobbyists, of certain special interests with the Republican power structure, who are so fearful of possibly losing their office that they won't take risks. Mm-hmm. And if you don't take risks, you can't oppose the Democrat agenda, even when you have the House and the Senate.
Exactly. Well, James, after it's all said and done on this hit job on Clarence Thomas, which is a hit job part due after the confirmation hearings and that, and that continues, you know, you look at where they stand today, where Anita Hill is today versus Clarence Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, well, Anita Hill has been lionized by the left, has achieved a certain amount of academic success. She's a law professor. And there's groups that have her come out and speak. She's done quite well, actually, mm-hmm. considering that what she did was deceitful to the mainstream media and leftist organizations, mm-hmm. as much as Clarence Thomas has. His dissents, his opinions. He's been an amazing and very powerful kind of understudy to Antonin Scalia. So it's
funny you should mention that. That's what I was thinking, that with the absence of Scalia, does that allow Justice Thomas to rise to the top? We got about 25 seconds here, James.
Well, we hope, you know, Clarence Thomas has taken an approach where he's been the quiet justice, but hopefully with Scalia gone, yeah, he will rise to the fore, and he and Alito will be the voice of reason on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, we'll look forward to that. James Hersin, New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor, talking about the latest hit job from HBO on Clarence Thomas.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.